We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talking Buffalo, featuring conversations with guests from around the world of sports, media, pop culture, and all things Buffalo, with your host, Patrick Moran.
All right, what is going on, everybody? How you doing? Welcome to our Tuesday episode of Talking Buffalo, your weekday daily driver for Buffalo Sports Talk and More. My name is Patrick Moran. Thank you, as always, for watching, for listening, for following, for subscribing. I appreciate y'all very, very much. As this drops, we are just, at this point, almost hours away from the 2024 NFL Draft. I am joined right now, as usual on this day, by my good buddy, Anthony Marino. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm ready for this draft. I'm ready for this draft to be over. Yeah. You know, floods, this is the week especially. We're early in the week, so we're recording this. I always got to have my weekly preface when I have Anthony on. Well, at least most of the time anyway. We're recording this Monday morning, so just in case any craziness happens throughout Monday, that's why we didn't cover it. So this is dropping on the video side. Late Monday night, podcast overnight into Tuesday morning. Again, just at that point, we're going to be 48, 50 or so hours away from start of this draft, and floods of mocks this week. Everybody's final mocks, the experts, the final thoughts, just all streaming through right now is just, it's a lot to, you know, we follow plenty of people locally, some nationally as well, and everybody's got their opinions, their mocks, their thoughts. It's just it's a whirlwind, man. It gets to be a lot to consume these final couple of days, ain't it?
Well, and it's a lot of chatter. It's a culmination of it, right? Of everything that you've heard. And I mean, at the end of the day, right? Nobody knows. Like, you're trying to make an educated guess, trying to have an informed opinion on what you're putting out there. And I think that's fine. But yeah, to your point, like, let's go already.
Well, I'll tell you what. So today's episode, we're going to have a little bit of fun, man. We're going to play, I don't want to say fantasy world, because I do think every bold prediction, and that's kind of like the theme today, bold Buffalo Bills and NFL draft predictions. I got some, and going to try to hit up Anthony for some, which, by the way, I don't know anything that you're thinking right now. So when you talk about what you're going to talk about, I'll be hearing about it, seeing it for the first time, just like everybody else who's consuming this podcast will be as well. But that's going to be the theme today. I think it's going to be fun. But everything I do say, I do believe can happen. I mean, some stuff might be bolder than others, but I think it's realistic. And I kind of gave you a little bit of an outline of what I'm thinking so that you could properly, you know, have some time to think and react to it. But I got to tell you this. So before getting to my three bold predictions, I think I got three of them concerning the Buffalo Bills. I got to let you know, man, I'm starting last minute here to warm up to the ideal that Brian Thomas Jr., who, again, not on one of my three bold Bills scenarios here that we're going to talk about. Maybe he should be, because I'm starting to warm up. Briefly before we started recording, Joe Biscaglia put out an article, and I only got a chance to skim through it because, again, we're recording this. So I'm going to dive in, but I know he talked about him, and I just feel like maybe he's in that range where top 10 is just too rich for Brandon Bean's blood for future picks, and maybe he's just not going to wait around. It just feels like that first, and maybe you get that dig second next year, and that's probably somebody that will land you. I don't know if you were planning on talking about him or not, so let's start off before we even get into these scenarios. How you feel right now about somebody like Brian Thomas Jr., perception-wise, probably someone who's going between pick 15 to like 21.
You're stealing all my thunder, which is all good. And it's funny because like this weekend, you know, it's one of those pieces and kind of what I was saying before, right? Like you're trying to make a formulated opinion to see, you know, what it is you want, what it is that Brandon Bean is saying, what the team needs and what's realistic out there. And, right. You know, so, and I don't know if, it, you know, so now I'm jumping into what my bold prediction was, but just, you know, you kind of put it out there. But it's like, it is Brian Thomas Jr. And yeah. I say that as a bold prediction. And I realize there might be some people like, well, you know, if he falls to 25 and you can add a fourth to go get him. No, his over under on, you know, the different sports books, FanDuel, DraftKings is like 17 and a half.
Yeah.
16 and a half. Right. And I think if you are going to get him, you have to get ahead of Jacksonville at 17. And I think for the Bills, the cost to get one of the first three is just going to be too much. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. And you can say, even as great as these guys could be, that's just a lot to stomach if it's two first, two seconds, a future third. I mean, that's a lot of draft capital for someone. Where Brian Thomas Jr., where I don't think it's like, okay, he's not in the realm with those first three. He's probably clearly number four. And then there's a drop off after him.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I look at it, it's just like, and I've never said this about a player before, but it's just like, yeah, if you have to, you know, trade your 2025 first round pick to get up to like 15 to be able to get him, you do it. Like he is that good. If it was, if those other three guys weren't in the draft, he's going in the top seven. The draft. He is that good. So it is, you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's a historical type of trade, but that's the guy that the Bills should be going for. You know, you say, oh, you go Xavier Worthy and you get a guy that, you know, that has the speed. Well, guess who's right behind him in the speed? Brian Thomas Jr. Or do you say, do you go get a, you know, Xavier Legette at 28 or trade back and, you know, who's got the size and he's got this and he like, well, Brian Thomas has that, only he's better. Like he is that guy. And it's like, I get it for what you could say, what he did at LSU is fine. Like, yes, he was playing with another generational talent in Malik Nabers. Like you can't just look at college tape and say, oh, well, this, you know, this is what I saw that he did in college. He said the same things about Justin Jefferson, right? So it's kind of like, yeah, well, Ja'Marr Chase did this. And well, yeah, Justin Jefferson didn't have to.
Right.
So I look at Brian Thomas Jr. and it's like, if there is a guy that you have to go get, you go get him. And if it's, you know, Dane Brugler put out that, you know, you could trade next year's second and two fourths for this year. Like, yeah, sure. Something like that would be an option. But even if it takes next year's first, you go ahead and do it. And he's going to be your rookie of the year. That would be like, honestly, he'd be playing with the best quarterback, the best offense. He would have the greatest opportunities. These quarterbacks, I'm not sold on any of the three or four of them that are going at the beginning that they would put a rookie of the year type of season together, right? Just based on the situations they're going to. So yeah, that's my guy. Like, go get him.
I like it. I like the hot take, dude. I'll tell you what about Brian Thomas Jr. So I would say this, the three receivers, you know, the top three, they're entrenched. That's tier one. I feel like Brian Thomas Jr. is in tier two by himself. Maybe Adonai Mitchell was like on the edge of tier two. And then I think you got, let's even include Adonai Mitchell if you want to put him in tier three. I think after Brian Thomas Jr., you got receivers, probably seven or eight of them maybe, that could, you know, go as high as 25 to say 35. But there's going to be a couple of those guys who go, you know, you think they're going to go 25 to 30 and they're going to end up like being picked 45 to 50. You know what I mean? There's going to be some receivers that slip. some that rise. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a pretty surefire lock to be a top 20 pick. So anyway, yeah, I did steal your thunder here right off the top. But it was just something that I've been thinking about more and more over the last few days since I've come up with these. And again, I got three. Let's get to the first one. This is by far like the boldest one. And this is a two-parter, all right? Here's part one, which is funny because you're talking about a trade-up. And I agree with you. Not only do I agree with you, I think we might even have like around the same team in mind with the Jacksonville Jaguars at pick 17. And by the way, you are the second person in the audience at the same time to hear about this, but you're not the first. I was having a conversation. I got to bring this up real quick. Saturday, I talked about this briefly on the show yesterday. I went to Fatty Bear in Hamburg, and I met up with some of the media guys, man. Tyler Dunn was there, Jay Skursky, Jeremy White, trying to think now, Matt Fairburn, Chris Baker, and Jim Onos. And I bring this up because I had never met Jim before. And I told Joe this, and I'll tell you this too. From my conversation with him, my wife was with us too. Talked for a good like 10 minutes. A lot of people, a lot of haters out there want to just say that Jim Onos hates the Bills because Sean McDermott fired him. Like I was telling Joe on yesterday's show, either it's utterly not true or he is maybe the greatest bullshit artist that I've ever heard in my life, because these are like off the record conversations. Dude still very much likes and cares about the Buffalo Bills and wants to see them do well. I want to put that out there right now too.
Well, let me say this. I'm a subscriber to Go Long. Mm-hmm. I've probably listened to 90% of the podcasts that Tyler and Jim have done together.
Yeah.
Never in any way, shape, or form on any of those podcasts has there been a hint that Jim Monos has held any sort of animosity towards the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Never. Right. And again, I was expecting it. You go in, you listen to that. Sure. Like, yeah, you know, you wouldn't be, if he was, like, I would understand, right? You would totally understand. And over all these years of these guys doing the shows together, he's been, and I don't want to even just say like he's been totally professional. He has been totally professional, but not in that way of just like, oh, hey, like I've been coached up. Let me just say all the right things here type of scenario. I've never gotten a hint of it on any of the podcasts. I haven't had any, you know, individual conversations with him either to show one way or another. But I've always appreciated his candor and his perspective that he's had, because he's been in the room. He's done the job. He speaks openly about what took place in 2017 and when he was with the Saints and those pieces. So I'm glad you guys got to catch up.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, sometimes maybe you say the right things in public, you say the right things on a show, and then when you're kind of having a couple pints, which I was, actually he wasn't, but I was, you know, it's easy to just talk off the record and be like, yeah, you know, this, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm just telling you, he did it. But I bring him up specifically for a reason, because he asked me what the Bills are going to do. Like, you know, just we got in a little bit of football talk, and I dropped this on him, and this took him back. And I'm going to tell you, if this happens, he's going to be the first person I go looking for to say, I told you so. Anyway, part one of a two-parter here with my big Bills bowl predictions. They're going to trade up to the Jacksonville Jaguars to pick 17. However, it is not only going to not be Brian Thomas Jr. I think it's not even going to be a wide receiver. I think it's going to be an edge guy. And this is going to be a guy that you talked about on the show previously, Jared Verse from Florida State. And I want to give you a little bit of rationale behind what I'm thinking right now, okay? First of all, he's a great player. He has all the traits, all the tools, and also has the production in college. You know, a lot of these guys are traits guys that haven't had really good seasons, or maybe they have had one good year. Jared Verse has had 9, 9, and 10.5 sacks over his 3 years at Florida State, okay? So he's a great player, and I think that edge is, I don't want to say a sneaky need, because it is a need for the Bills, and it's not sneaky either. I think it's a much bigger need than a lot of us are talking about, because we are so fixated on the wide receiver position. Not to ignore that, because again, there's going to be a part two of this. But look at these edges, Anthony. Von Miller is 35 years old, okay? Healthy now, but who knows how long that's going to last? He was garbage for the most part last year. you know, because he wasn't 100% or close to it. Kind of came around during the playoffs. I thought he showed some flashes for sure. But again, he's 35 years old, and health is certainly going to be in question. His production is going to be in question. At some point, you got to expect him to get near the edge of that cliff. So you got him. Greg Rizzo is really solid, but he's not really a sack artist. You know, he just had 5 sacks last year. He's never had more than 8 in the 3 years of his career. So those are your starters. And behind that, you got AJ Epenesa, who I like him. He's a good stretch player. He can play good in flashes for sure. He definitely has some good stretches. But he is who he is. I don't think he's ever going to go from getting 6.5 sacks per year, which is pretty much what he is, to a guy who's going to get 10, 11. And Casey Toohill's just a guy. You know, they signed him. I guess maybe he's your Shaq Lawson for this year. He'll do a couple things, but not much to count on. So if any of those guys, those top three, any of them go down at all, the Bills all of a sudden become razor thin at edge. And there's no way Verse or Liate Latu are sniffing 28 for the Bills. That's not going to happen. So the trade is, and I copied Dane Brugler, you mentioned him, the exact trade, but for he had him going for Brian Thomas. You do as well. Same trade. Pick 28, pick 133 and 144, and then that 2025 second. And I'm going to give it their own instead of Minnesota's, because I think the Bills' potential late second could be enough. So you're giving up a first, a second, and basically 2 late fourths to move from 28 to 17. And I think it's going to be for Jared Verse. And I'm going to tell you, if there's a big trade up, flip a coin, because it could be Brian Thomas Jr. But I got a reasonable amount of confidence that it might be edge and not wide receiver. So what's your thoughts on that? Okay, we'll go there.
As your friend, if you were right, like, I would be happy for you and probably for nobody else, right? Like, hey, but we do this stuff. It's like you want to, hey, somebody to call something like that to make a bold prediction and have it come true. I think that's great. I've said with you before, I do not see defensive end as big of a need as you do in some others. And that is just on me. And I say it because I look at the blueprint that the Bills had last season, and there is a 2024 version of Leonard Floyd out there, whether it's Yannick Ngakoue, whether it's Carl Lawson, sure, whether it's Emmanuel Ogba, like someone that can come in and be that fourth defensive end for you, third down specialist. I mean, you know, hey, if they get somewhere between 7 and 10 sacks on the season, they've done their job, and you kind of give them that 1 year, $8 to $10 million type of contract. I see more of that available at defensive end than I see at any other position. I don't see it at wide receiver. I don't necessarily see it at defensive tackle. I mean, unless you're talking like a Calais Campbell, who's, I don't know, is he like 40 years old yet this season? The guy's a absolute just machine, right? I mean, can continue to play at a high level. I love Jared Verse. I think as a player, I just don't know if it's that type of capital to trade up to get a defensive end, right? Sure. It's a class that is it's weak relative to other things that are there. And, you know, and I get this part too, like, yeah, I mean, maybe he's playing like 40% of the snaps. Right. Like, I get what you're saying with Von Miller and other pieces and where it can go. I love the player. I just don't love it for a trade up. I mean, for that type of a trade up, if it's, hey, he falls to 25 and it's just like the wide receivers are thin, or there's enough depth that, to your point, you know, hey, we can get somebody at, you know, the mid 50s, do a minor trade up there, and you want to go get Jared Verse, I'm good for it. If you're talking moving up 11 picks, I'd scratch my head a little bit. I mean, listen, if he's out there on Sundays, you know, sacking Aaron Rodgers and Tua Tagovailoa, like I will be the first one pumping a fist for him. but that one was a little tough for me to get behind it when I first read it.
I get it. Trust me. I understand. And look, you make great points about the position. You make great points about there's definitely, well, no, I won't say definitely, because Leonard Floyd had 10.5 sacks last year. But there's types like him that will be available for sure on June 1st. My thought process is it's this. I feel like you can only do that for so long. You got to get more new blood in here. And one thing that we have talked about previously on this show too, which I think, you know, I just talked about Von Miller, 35 years old. Maybe he's still got another year of even semi-magic left where he can approach maybe Leonard Floyd type production this year, but he's closer to the end than the beginning for sure. Totally. And one thing we talked about previously is his ability. One of the things perception wise, anyway, and I certainly believe it, that he's great at is helping to mentor young edge rushers, young defensive linemen. So to be able to get a guy, and even if you got to trade up for him, obviously, because you're not going to get him at 28 or anything close to it. I'm telling you that right now. But you get a guy who could work with Von Miller for a year and learn the craft. I think going forward, that would be a great reason to do something like that. And plus, again, because you're thinking, well, he's not talking wide receiver. I said this was a two-parter. So that was only part one. So you just gave up in my crazy bold prediction. You gave up 28, obviously. You gave up next year's number two, and then 128 and 144. But here's part two, okay? The Bills trade, not for a pick, but they trade for Brandon Ayuk from the San Francisco 49ers. Now, this may not happen on draft day. This may not. Now, I talked briefly to Greg Thompson, which, by the way, shout out, plug, cheap plug here. Got Greg Thompson going to be live tonight at Sunny Reds here, by tonight meaning Tuesday night. So I'm going to talk to him about this financially at Sunny Reds here on Tuesday night. But he says that it could work, but it would be hard to do now, but obviously after June 1st. So anyway, may not happen on the draft day. Maybe it doesn't happen on June 1st, but, you know, Bills fans are going to lose their shit if, you know, the Bills trade up for a defensive end and they don't really come away with any significant receiver this draft. But I'm giving up my first round pick in 2025 for Brandon Ayuk. And I'll tell you why. He's a guy, 75 catches, 1,342 yards, 7 touchdowns last year. 78 catches, a little over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns the year before. Those are big numbers for a guy that had to share the football with Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, some others. He's got 269 catches for close to 4,000 yards. He's averaging over 14 and a half yards per catch, 25 touchdowns in his first 4 years. I looked it up. He lines up all over the field. He played 360 snaps wide last year, 113 in the slot. Sounds like kind of Stephon Diggs-ish to me. Diggs, and just 2 drops last year. PFF overall grade last year, Anthony, 92.3. Second highest in the entire NFL among any wide receiver except Tyreek Hill. He's just turning 26, or just did. He's 5 years younger than Stephon, and he's your number one guy alongside Kincaid. You got those guys now. You trade for him, you give him the contract, because obviously that would happen next. And I think like the back half of Josh Allen's biggest prime years, you're set there. So, you know, I don't know, man. A unit of Brandon Ayuk and Curtis Samuel and Kincaid, Shakir, Cook. Sounds amazing to me, man. I'm giving up a first rounder next year to do it. I want to win right now. You go get that guy. There's no rookie curve. He's your number one receiver on July 21st or whenever the hell camp opens. What do you think?
I mean, listen, it is certainly a player that if I'm going to trade for anyone, that's the guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson. I don't even believe that's something that's kind of real out there. Right. So Brandon Ayuk, if you're taking a swing, he's about as much of a sure thing as out there. And yeah, you got to figure out all the financial pieces. So let's leave that over here. I do think the question with him, and again, it's what the compensation would be. It probably would even need to be more than a future first, right? When you look at what the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs, what the AJ Brown trade was, right? So, I mean, it might mm-hmm. be like a future day one and a future day two. I don't know that it's going to happen, right? Like, it's one of those things, and you know, too, like the old, you know, guy unfollows his team on Instagram. What does that really mean?
Sure.
But yeah. If he is going to get moved, I would hope that Brandon Bean would get really aggressive. So that one I felt like was really interesting. I'm not expecting him to get traded, but again, when we're talking about it's a bold prediction for a reason. I like that one better than your first.
I think the possibility of him getting traded is extremely real. Partially because, you know, the downside of having a football team that has so many stars is you just can't pay them all. Now, I just ran off some of the guys, Deebo and McCaffrey and Kittle. And that's not even to mention some of the guys on defense like Bosa. You know, so there's a lot, Warner. There's a lot of stars on that football team. Brock Purdy, you know, they got the advantage of him being on a rookie contract for now. But, you know, they're going to have to pony up for him at some point. I do think it's real. I'm not saying they're going to, because they could also just let him play this year and let him walk after this year. You know what I mean? And go get a third round comp pick for him 2 years from now if they don't do anything. I get that. But I think it's realistic. I really do. I think everything I just said is realistic. And maybe people might not like it, at least the first half of it. Yeah. But under the scenario, Anthony, okay, so you gave up your first, and maybe you're right. Maybe it takes more than that. But let's just assume they got their first, or they gave up the first. You still got your second next year that you get from Minnesota. You don't have a first. You got your second and your third next year. You know, you moved up for first, so we lost our first and a second next year. You're still going to have pick 60 in my scenario, though. But now you got your edge rusher who can help you on day one and day going forward after this year. Maybe he becomes the guy, and now you got your number one wide receiver. To me, I feel like, you know, verse without Ayuk don't work for a lot of people, but you go get your edge guy and you get Brandon Ayuk. I feel like this is not only good for the Bills, but I'm sure this is something I think anyway fans could get behind.
Listen, again, I think, yes, they could definitely get behind it. I think if you combine those two pieces, the world might burn down in Buffalo Bills Twitter before you get to that point where you can make that trade if it all transpires the way you put it out. But it would
just imagine that. Okay, so you're expecting the Bills to trade up around the mid-teens, and they do. And he gets up on the podium and he says, the 17th pick trade, blah, 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 the Bills select Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State. Can you, the videos on Bills Mafia on X, Twitter X, and everything might be like pay-per-view worthy. Oh my God, would that not go well with fans?
Woo. It is so weird. And again, you know, I have fun online. You know, Jeremy White, who you mentioned before from WGR, like the literally the conductor of the wide receiver train. Like no one is on that train more than Jeremy is. So, you know, we go back and forth. I get sarcastic. We kind of have some fun. And there is a very small part of me that it's like, God, I just want to see like an alternate timeline of if the Bills, you know, trade up and don't take a wide receiver, what the reaction would be like. Just to listen to the morning show on WGR the next morning. Sure. I mean, I would set my alarm for 5:58 to be up like right away to hear what the take is. Because it would just be crazy. I can't even wrap my head around it right now. Them not going wide receiver in the first round. It is going to be Thursday night. It's going to be really interesting, to say the least. Hey,
that's an understatement. And by the way, I want to put out there, just like when I tweet, I don't really tweet for likes, and I'm not making these predictions for likes. Like I just mentioned that I think the Bills would, you know, the fans would like that, but that's not why I'm making, you know, this bold prediction. And again, I just said to you at the very top of the show, I kind of got my eye on Twitter a little bit as we're conversating, just to make sure nothing crazy, you know, goes down. And the Ringer's doing their mock draft right now, real quick here. And in the Ringer mock draft, the Bills traded up from 28 to 22 and gave up picks 28, 144, and a third next year. And he took a Donnie Mitchell with that pick because Brian Thomas Jr. was off the board. So just wanted to throw that out there real quick before we take a quick break too, because I got a couple more bowl predictions and I know you got some as well. Lots of non-wide receiver prospects, but I don't think many of them are likely at 28 because this is, again, not a prediction, but just some information for people. I think edge gets really thin after the top three. You know, we talked about it a lot too. Dallas Turner and Jared Verse, none of them are making it to 28. And I think that position gets thin. Maybe Chop Robinson could be realistic, even if you stayed at pick 28. Cooper DeJean, we've talked about him. DeJean, I like him. I don't think he's going to be there. We talked about him last week. I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think Johnny Noonan, the defensive tackle, I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be the second tackle off the board. I don't think there's any offensive tackle or corner that's like a first-round type priority for the Bills. Kind of leads me to think if it's going to be a non-receiver, like if they don't make a trade for Ayuk and they don't trade up and they just let the board fall, I kind of feel like if it's not going to be a receiver, that guard could be that pick? I mean, yeah, Grant Barden, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier. Kind of feels like if it's not receiver, I'm not saying it's going to be, but just feels like it could be one of those guys.
Well, if the Bills do stay, if the Bills do stay at 28, right, something is falling. Something is falling that's going to have you say, like, is it a cornerback? Is it a guard? Is it a tackle? Mm-hmm. You know, is it one of those things that's there that's going to probably have you holding your breath a little bit, right? Whether it's because there will be wide receivers there. And I say that meaning, you know, it might not be exactly who you want, but it might be, you know, think the combination of Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, right? I mean, there's a bunch of names that are out there that should be available at 28. That if you want a wide receiver, you can take one. But, sure, you know, there's going to be some offensive guard there that you're just kind of thinking to yourself like, oh, man, I get it. Like, you could probably upgrade over Edwards at left guard, but is that what you really want? Or some cornerback that's out there that you're just thinking to yourself, like, okay, are they going to, you know, really do this? Or, you know, it is going to be interesting. And again, that's where I feel like in some ways, even if you do trade up, relieve some of that mystery and go get your guy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, back with Anthony Marino. We are going over some bold Buffalo Bills draft predictions. All right, the first one, I still feel in my heart that it could happen, that I said, but it does feel a bit fantasy-ish. I'll admit that. This one, to me, a little less bold, but still kind of bold, my second prediction. And again, this is a two-parter. So I would say the Bills are going to take, again, much of the chagrin of a lot of people, they're going to take either that interior offensive lineman who could be potentially a day one, not potentially. I think if you take a guard in round one, he's your starter. I think they could take one or Chop Robinson. So I'm going to kind of play both sides of the fence here. I don't want Chop Robinson, by the way. I've gotten cold on him. I don't trust a guy in the first round that's had four sacks and, like, basically he's a pure trait guy. You know what I mean? Like, you're drafting him potentially on potential. You know, that's what you're doing if you go get him in the first round. Whereas a guard, man, that could be your day one guy. Maybe eventually move to center. I kind of got that Creed Humphrey fear right now. Like, the Bills are going to pass on maybe the next Creed Humphrey type player to go get the fifth or sixth receiver in the first round. So I'm going to say that I think it's very realistic. In fact, a bold prediction, the Bills take a guard. I'm not going to say which one. It's going to be one of those three guys. But here's the caveat, Anthony. The Bills in round two are going to get a receiver, and they're not going to stay at pick 60 to do it. They're going to move not just up, but they're going to move way up. You give up pick 60, and that you take that Diggs pick from last year or your own second, and if you go by the draft value chart, that gets you all the way up to early in the second round, like the mid-30s. So I'll say Zach Frazier, round one. Ugh, don't like that. But they come up round two. I'm going to go Chargers, pick 37. You give up 60 in next year's second. And you got Troy Franklin. You got Jalen Polk. You got Keon Coleman. I think you're in that territory here with the mid-30s. Maybe a guy like even Worthy or Mitchell might even, well, I don't think Mitchell, but maybe Worthy or McConkey might even still be there mid-30s. But I think that's the territory you get into. So you still got your first and your second next year. That's the benefit of making the Stephon Diggs trade. You come away with a day one guard, and you move up in round two for that receiver, because maybe the Bills know they need a receiver, but maybe they're thinking, I don't need a quote-unquote true bona fide number one. And I like Jalen Polk a lot, by the way. So that's my second bold prediction. Guard, come back, trade up round two, wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that one is and listen, I don't want to throw stones at you. That one doesn't even feel very bold. To me, it feels like almost kind of realistic. And, you know, I think
sure.
When you talk about that, them going an interior offensive lineman at 28, we could definitely see that. I feel like it's a little bit of an overlooked piece with the changes they made this year. I mean, if they held on to Mitch Morris, we're probably laughing at that suggestion. But mm-hmm. for right now, it's just like, yeah, let's see what happens here, right? You might need a little bit more of that succession plan that comes about. And, you know, maybe you're not just sold that Connor McGovern is actually moving to center. The only part that has me sticking with him being at center was when he was on the Eric Wood podcast. And I mean, Connor McGovern was talking as if I am the starting center next year. Like, it wasn't just like him, you know, and he wasn't talking being like cocky or bragging or anything along those lines. It was, you know, kind of implied that there was a conversation that took place, and this was a move that was going to happen going forward. So I like what you're talking about here. I could get behind it. And again, it's, you know, other than the part, those 24 hours from when the Bills, you know, take a guard at 28 to when they trade up and take a wide receiver relatively early in the second round. But yeah, I could definitely see that one.
I'm going to make another bonus bowl prediction, not necessarily with the Bills, because I don't know where he's going, but I'm going to tell you, man, Jalen Polk is going to be a star. I think this kid is going to be a great receiver. He was really good with Washington, and he had to play with Roma Dunze, who took a lot of the shine off of him. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL. I'd be thrilled if the Bills got him, especially, obviously, in round two. I mean, you're right. I would say, though, moving up from like 60 to 37, it's a little boldy. It's boldish. Maybe it's not completely bold, but it's boldish.
Yeah, no, it's bold. That's bold. Maybe just, you know, compared to what your first
two the first one. Yeah, nothing's gonna.
But to your point as well, Pat, like we said early on, you spend months just sort of speculating around this. Like,
sure,
you've gone through so many different fake trades and things in your mind, and what you would do or what you wouldn't do. So, I mean, at this point, like, you know, minus like trading Josh Allen for Caleb Williams, like, you know, that's about as bold as you could get right now. It's, you know, we're just kind of in this fantasy land place of things.
Well, like I said at the top of the show, so we're doing these bold things now. My mind's operating at warp speed, got all these options, and it's still not done. Like I said, I still got Greg Thompson to talk to. We still got a final mock draft. At this point, I'm just like, I can't wait for Thursday, in part just so we could see what happens. And then we can react instead of speculating, because that's what we're doing right now. We're speculating, we're guessing, which, speaking of, this leads to my last of my three bold predictions. And again, maybe the least bold of the three, but he doesn't ever do it. So I guess it is kind of bold. He literally never does it. But Brandon Bean trades down in my scenario here, my prediction from pick 28, trades down to Washington at 36. And you always need two to tangle. And my rationale is there might be an offensive tackle or two near the end of the first round. And Washington is going to badly want an offensive tackle to go with whatever quarterback they take with the second pick of the draft, probably Daniels, but we don't know that for sure. So I could see that being a good trade-down partner for the Bills. Maybe you like a receiver, but Thomas Jr. is gone. You didn't want to give up your second next year. Mitchell goes off the board. You're like, eh, whatever. All right, well, a lot of these guys, like we just talked about, maybe, you know, there's a group. There's three or four of them I like, and I could go get something for my pick 28. So you trade down with Washington, and you give up also pick 144 in my bold prediction here. So 28 and 144 go to Washington, and you get 36 and 78. So in 36, you're going to take the best wide receiver on the board. Again, I'm going to say Jalen Polk is my guy, but I could easily see Franklin or Coleman. That's their territory, or maybe someone else like Worthy or whatever if they slip. And now you got yourself a third round pick, which you didn't have because you moved back in the first round and you gave up pick 144 to do it. So now you got pick 60 and pick 78. Let's go get better in the trenches. You got your wide receiver at pick 36. Let's go get a guard or, you know, someone interior lineman or interior defensive lineman, edge, whatever you want to do. Let's beef up and get better in the trenches. And you got your receiver with your first pick. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, well, you know, Brandon Bean spoke earlier this week and talked about the 2023 draft. And if things didn't work out with Dalton Kincaid, that he had an offer that he liked to move back.
Right? Yeah,
he did say that. A first in the, at least in the first round, right? The only other time I kind of recall him trading back early was when they selected James Cook and they did two minor trade backs before selecting him. So, you know, he doesn't really have the reputation for it. Things would have to go, when I say horribly wrong, I don't say that to be like dramatic, but just like for what he would be planning for, it would really not have to come together, right? Of just like, you know, none of the trade-up scenarios are there, and by the time you get to 28, things just didn't fall the way that you wanted to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he even said the other day, you know, he doesn't have 28 first-round grades on players. And I'm always curious with that too, right? Like, you know,
how honest do you think he's being when he says that?
Well, but like, if you're a team like the Bills, like, do you include any of the quarterbacks on your board when you're doing that? So is like, you know, do you not have 28, but you don't include Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Drake May, JJ McCarthy, because you know there's 0% chance that you're taking one of those guys. So I always take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, but it is interesting to say, like, again, if they don't have their heart set on someone, are they willing to do that? It would be really interesting. My gosh, what, I mean, you talk about an interesting 24 hours of being a Buffalo Bills fan. If they trade out of the first round to early into the second, of just like, who's there? Do they make another minor move up, you know, to get a little bit closer to, you know, to target their guy or what? That would be bananas. Like, you want to talk about a day of speculation and who is out there and looking at all of these things. That would be bonkers. And I think the part that would probably make it most crazy is, you know, you're trading then behind the Ravens, you're trading behind more so the Chiefs, right? And there is this obsession of just like, well, I don't want the Chiefs to get this guy. I don't want the Dolphins to get this guy. And it's a little bit of, you know, controlling the controllables. But for at least right now, it's like, well, you're scheduled to pick in front of the Chiefs. For you to drop behind them, I would hate that 24-hour period.
Right.
It would be horrible. Like, it would be a move that would totally make sense for what you just said. Like, hey, and then who you can get it, pick 74 or whatever it is. Like, that could be great. But oh my gosh, like, that would be the second guessing that would take place for that period of time. That would be nuts.
Oh my God. People who have waited forever for this draft, and then the Bills don't even make a pick on Thursday. I think this is what I think, and I'm pretty sure you agree with that. I think the $64,000 question, you know, that's funny. That's a saying as old as time, you know, the $64,000 question, which back in those days, that was a lot of money. And nowadays, that's pretty much that ain't shit anymore. But anyway, the $64,000 question is, how important is it to the Buffalo Bills to go get, it's important to go get a receiver. We all know they're going to get a receiver. But is it, man, we might move up in the first round to get it. We might use a first round pick, or we might not take one until day two. That's the mystery. That's what we don't know. How much they're definitely going to get a young body in the room, but we don't know how much of a priority, how much of a bigger priority is wide receiver than guard or a versatile defensive back or an edge guy. That's what we don't know. That's what makes this draft so fascinating. I feel like if they didn't trade Stephon Diggs, I'm not sure that we would be losing our minds if the Bills didn't come away with a receiver with wherever their first pick ends up being. But now that they don't have Diggs, kind of feels like it needs to be that. You kind of feel that way?
It has to be. Yeah. I mean, you lost Stephon Diggs. Like,
sure.
I mean, he's a Pro Bowl, all pro, 100 receptions, alpha on your team. Mm-hmm. People can talk about the statistics all they want. We have for weeks on end, but like if you are on the field, like you have to know what Stephon Diggs is and you have to game plan for him. And it is just that hole is now on your roster. And I'm a big fan of Curtis Samuel and what he can bring to the team and filling a void and, you know, between rushes and carries, getting, I don't know, over 100 touches this year, right? Maybe 70 mm-hmm. catches, 35, 40 rushes. That's cool. Do I look at Dalton Kincaid as someone that can push 90 plus receptions this year? Absolutely. And I like Khalil Shakir and what he can be.
Sure.
But you need to get someone, and no one's going to step in and replace Diggs, right? Unless you do like the Brandon Ayuk trade, you're getting someone in that you hope has the potential to be that good mm-hmm. in the future.
If they go get Brandon Ayuk, I think, not that I give a shit, nor do you, I'm sure, about the national perception of this football team, but if they were to go get Brandon Ayuk, I think the national perception of this team changes in a blink of an eye. And if your name's not Nick Wright, you're pretty much, you're going to have the Bills right back up and people will be talking about, and I don't think they're going to be wrong, by the way. It's not hyperbole whatsoever. If they go get Brandon Ayuk, that offense, you're going to say it's going to be better than it was last year. You're going to say that Brandon Ayuk is better than the 31-year-old version of Stephon Diggs. And I would believe that because not only do you get a legitimate number one receiver who's young on this football team, but I firmly believe that Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir are ascending, and now Joe Brady's got an entire offseason. You know, he kind of took over midseason. He knows what these guys are. He knows what they could do. He's going to scheme and create game plans in part around these guys with an entire offseason to put that together now, with not to mention Curtis Samuel. God, I want that to happen. You know, I want Brandon Ayuk. I'm convincing myself right here live on the show. I really want him. Don't know that they're going to get him, but I would. I'll tell you this. Would you give up that first next year for him right now? If I called you on the phone and you were Brandon Bean and I said, and I'm Frisco, and I said, I want your first round pick next year and a fourth for a fifth or something like that. You know what I mean? Are you doing it at the end of the day, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. But I also think there's probably like 10 other teams that would do it as well.
Sure.
So that's the part that to me just then where I'm like,
right. It's borderline fantasy. I think it's real enough, but it's kind of borderline fantasy. And those are my three bold predictions, by the way. So my first one, again, the crazy shit one is you trade up, but you trade up for Jared Verse and you trade for Brandon Ayuk. My second one was you stay pat at 28 and you end up taking a guard or maybe even Chop Robinson, which again, this is a prediction. That's something I want, but you do that. And then you move up, way up in round two and go get the receiver that you still like. And then round three was to trade back. You pick up a third, get a receiver at like pick 36 and add to the trenches. Those are my three. You got any chambers left in the gun or did I making empty it out on Brian Thomas Jr.
No, I got some others. So Brian Thomas Jr. is the one that, again, that first one we talked about mm-hmm. earlier in the show that I look at. It's just like, okay, that's bold enough, right? That's bigger than just a, hey, we're trading a fourth round pick to move up. This is a big move for the Buffalo Bills. I do, and this one is, I'm not saying I want it to happen, but I think if they're going to make the Julio Jones type of trade, mm-hmm. the team that they're going to make it with is the New York Giants. And I say that because obviously the relationship between Joe Shane and Brandon sure. Bean, I look at it and think to myself, okay, if I am the Giants, like, I'm really not competing for this year. I know that's hard to say. I'm not saying that they're in tank mode, but they do give me the look and feel a bit of like the 2017 Buffalo Bills, right? Of just like, we're just not good enough as we are
right
now. So if there's a team that the Bills are going to trade up with to say, we're going to go get Rome Odunze, we're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., or we're going to get Malik Nabers, that's the one. And it is because the Giants can be that team to say, yeah, we don't want to go from 6 to 28, but let's stockpile as many assets as we possibly can in 2025, because Daniel Jones is not the guy. And we know that. And we also don't have the ammunition to get in front of anybody this year to get one of these quarterbacks that are there. So to me, it's like, if we can talk about the Bears, or you can say, you know, could you trade up with Atlanta or this and that? But I think based on the relationship that those two guys have, if there's going to be a real genuine, can we get up and do this? That's the team to keep an eye on. And I think that, again, the Giants would have the motivation to stockpile assets so they have whatever they need in 2025 to make a move to get the quarterback that they want.
Trade-wise, Julio Jones, I looked this actually up and I kind of remember it now, it was 2 firsts, a second, and a fourth. So if you're wondering like approximately what it would cost, so just 28 in another pick this year, let's just say their first fourth, which I believe is like around 128, then you're talking next year's first, and you're talking a second, which they got two for next year. That's not crazy. It's bold as shit, but it's not that crazy, because if you go get that guy, and you really, I mean, you better love Nabers or Rome Odunze, either or, whichever one. And I think at six, well, there's certainly.
I think it would cost you 60 instead of next year's second.
Probably.
You know what I mean? So it would be 28,
60. Next year's
one of your fourth round picks, next year's first, and maybe even something else, which is a ton. But it is, if you're making the move, that's the team to make it with. And, you know, because maybe your buddy Shane gives you a tad bit of a discount, right? Of just like, we're going to do this with someone I at least know that you're somebody that's, you know, not going to screw me over here.
Yeah. You're probably at pick six in your scenario. You got your pick between Nabers and Odunze, whichever guy you like more. Cause I think Harrison will be the first, and you're going to have four quarterbacks go probably in the first four picks. So you're going to get one of those two guys. Financially, you got a guy for 5 years locked up. You can always tag him in that sixth year. You got to say Josh is going to what, his seventh year? By the time that guy's done with his contract, Josh is going to be a 13-year-old dude. Like, his best days are going to be behind him. So now you just got yourself a bona fide number one receiver for the rest of Josh Allen's, at least most of his prime, I should say, at least anyway. Bold as hell. I love it. Man, that would take some kahunas from Brandon Bean to do it. But, man, that would be fun.
In that scenario, or the one with Brian Thomas Jr., it's like, again, the Bills should have some cap space next year to make some moves, right? Very different than this year and the year before, where things were much more modest. So it makes it easier to trade away 2025 premier draft capital, because you can look at things. One, you got the Minnesota second round pick from the Stephon Diggs trade, but you have cap space where it's just like, yeah, you'll be able to do some stuff.
Sure.
I got two others for you. I mean, one, again, I don't think is all that bold. There's 0% chance the Bills pick at number 28. 0% chance. They are either moving up a lot, they're moving up a little, or they're moving back. But there is 0% chance that they.
I tend to agree with that. I would be surprised. I wonder what the. I'd love to take a look at the Vegas books and see what the odds are if there was a prop on them staying at 20. I agree.
Yep. And the other piece, I will say, my last one, the Bills will take a wide receiver with their first two picks, and with another pick in round 4 or 5. So right, like their first two picks will be wide receiver, and then let's just call it one of their early day three picks will also be on a wide receiver. So basically, you're going to put a first, a second, and then a fourth or a fifth will be on a wide receiver. Because when you look at this, you're really probably going to have 6 wide receivers on your 53-man roster. Right now, you have 3. Justin Shorter fans, I don't want to hear it. No. Right? Like, so you basically are going to have 3 wide receivers that you need to add, unless they look to bring in some sort of a veteran. I don't know. So to me, that would be bold if they were, you know, not just a double dip in the first and the second, but then with one of their early day 3 picks.
I think a double dip period, especially if it's the first 2 picks being receivers, that in itself is really bold. Man, I could just see Sean McDermott getting some anxiety thinking about having to use not just his first, but his first and his second pick both on receivers while his defensive line goes untreated. Woo! That would be look, I mean, it's not out of the realm, that's for sure, that they come away with 3 receivers in some order of this draft. Because, you got Samuel, you got Shakir, you got Matt Collins. That's your 3 receivers right now. Yeah, I agree with you. Justin Shorter, he's a candidate to be on this team. By no means is he a lock, but double dip. I know a lot of people have talked about it. I still think it's unlikely. So for that reason alone, that's certainly bold. Quickly, before we get out, I mentioned I was going to have a couple NFL ones, so I better drop them. Now you talked about them as a team trading with the Bills. I actually, with the New York Giants, one of my bold predictions for the league is I think they're going to be the team. Everyone's talking about Minnesota. I think the Giants are going to move up from 6 to 4, and they're going to go get them J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Whichever one of those 2 quarterbacks is there, pick 4. So I got that. I got J.J. McCarthy going to the Patriots at pick 3, which means that we didn't have Drake May going to the Giants at pick 4. Cooper DeJean, I think he's going to be a top 20 pick. I think he's going to be gone before pick 20 or by pick 20. I think the Chiefs, and I'm just running through these here, the Chiefs are going to end up with either Xavier Worthy or Donnie Mitchell. One of those Texas receivers is going to be a Kansas City Chief. I got eight of the top 40 picks this year being wide receivers. So that's 20% of the first 40 picks are going to be wide receivers. And they got him a bonus, little semi-bold Bills prediction here. Audric Estime, the running back from Notre Dame, if he's there in round 4, the Bills are taking him. I think he would be the perfect fit. The heir apparent to Latavius Murray with potential to be significantly more than just what Latavius Murray was last year for the Bills. So those are my league ones. You got any league stuff that you're thinking about cooking here?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, one, I talked about the Giants, right? And I think, again, whether it's with the Bills for them to get one of the premier wide receivers, the Giants are that team I'm looking at to say, like, you know, do they kind of punt on this year, right? Again, sort of stockpile the assets because they realize Daniel Jones isn't the guy, but you're kind of stuck with his contract this year, just, you know, hit that reset. The other one I'm really curious about is the Raiders, right? The Raiders picking at 12. I do look at them as, you know, one, an option for if the Bills are going to send their 2025 first to move up to get somebody like Brian Thomas Johnson, that, you know, that is a team I've got just thinking to myself, like, okay, you've got Gardner Minshew as your starting quarterback right now. You got Antonio Pierce as your new head coach. I mean, certainly when he came in last year in the interim tag, he did some really good things. Like, the team rallied around him, but they do not have a long-term answer at quarterback.
Nope.
And, you know, are you going to sit there and say, I don't know, we're going to wait for, you know, take Penix at 12 or Bo Nix or something like that to develop? I mean, and it's not just, oh, he's the fifth guy in this. Like, the player's either good or he's not, right? And if it was a year that those other four quarterbacks weren't there, then maybe a Bo Nix is going number one or number two overall, or he's a top five pick, or same things with Penix. So, you know, I look at all of that and I just think, though, but if it's not one of the guys, the Raiders could be a team that could make a move, again, make a move back, allow someone to jump up because they just don't have that quarterback on their roster right now. And what are they, you know, what are they going to do?
Sure.
So that's a team I keep an eye on. Of course, the Rams being there at 19. I mean, this right now is the first time they're going to have a first round pick, I think, since like 1987 with all the moves that they've made in the past. So just what they're going to do, it makes them very unpredictable because there hasn't been anything that you've been able to tell, like, you know, what their draft tendencies are in the first round. So, you know, just a couple of those teams that I think will be fun to really keep an eye on. And you mentioned the Patriots, like, I don't know, like, God, are they really going to like one of these quarterbacks? Because if they don't, you know, do they look at it and say, hey, you know what, we'll take a Marvin Harrison Jr. because this guy is just phenomenal. He's too good of a talent. If we don't like one of these quarterbacks, it's like, well, you don't sure. take one just to take one. And I know that sure. sounds weird and people would be like, you know, my gosh, you've been in this position, but it's like, if you don't think he's the guy, then you don't take him. You just don't do it. I mean, maybe you trade back and get a bevy of picks from Minnesota or someone else, but you know, the Marvin Harrison Jr. piece being a generational talent, that makes it interesting here.
You know, great point about the quarterback. And I'll tell you, man, there's been a lot of quarterbacks that have went really high in recent drafts that have just flamed out. Zach Wilson, although Mac Jones was not a top five pick, but still, he was a mid first round pick. Mitch Trubisky, of course, with the Bears not all that long ago. So sure.
If Trey you don't Lance.
Quarterback, Trey Lance. Yeah, exactly. Third pick. They moved heaven and earth to get him as well. So sure. But if you do like the quarterback, you got to take him because you can never count on being in the top 3 to 4, you know, when it comes to a draft. Like the Raiders point too, moving back, they also could be really aggressive and say, all right, well, we do love Drake May and we want to go from 12. We want to try to get up to 4 because who knows? We expect to be picking better than 12 going forward. So maybe this is the year that they do it as well. My final thought here, as it pertains to the Bills, is, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about bold predictions. My actual prediction is similar to what your last kind of bold prediction was, one of them, where there's zero chance to stay at 28. I do think the Bills ultimately, you know, my life depended on being right and not being bold whatsoever or trying to overanalyze and think. I say the Bills move up, but they only move up a couple spots. Like they move somewhere maybe 24, 25, where it would only cost them maybe a fourth. Or maybe a third next year for a fourth, something like that. You get my point. A small to moderate move up because there's a receiver. It's a Donnie Mitchell. It's Xavier Worthy. It's whoever it is. I'm not going to speculate. Whoever Xavier Leggett. I love Xavier Leggett. We didn't even talk about him today. But anyway, I at the end of the day, that would be like my actual prediction. I think the Bills are going to move up a couple spots and secure the receiver that they like. They don't want to take a chance of. You know, you can't just look at who's picking 25, 26, 27. You got to look at Baltimore and Kansas City behind you that might jump you to go get a guy. So they did it last year with Kincaid. I think this year they do the same thing and they get whatever receiver it's going to be. That's my final thought. What's yours? What do you got?
You know, again, I look at it. I think that's realistic. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, like, I do think they're going to make a big swing. I'm just going to say it. I think the way that Brandon Bean was talking the other day and saying, I want to go to bed Thursday night, knowing that I got the guy that I want. Conversation sure. that he had earlier when he said like, well, yeah, sure. I don't want to trade away a future first, but I'll consider that. I'm paraphrasing here, but it wasn't like a, you know, not that you would expect him to shut the door on something, but he's pretty open as far as GMs come, right? Like he'll put some crumbs out there. So, I'll just say the Bills are going to trade up for one of the top four wide receivers. Okay. That'll be, and that's, I mean, that's pretty bold, but like, I have bold. It in my head right now.
I could tell you believe it too. You're not just being bold to be bold. You're being bold, but you believe what you're saying. And there's a big difference between that and, say, Maiden, where they trade up for Jared Verse and Brandon Ayuk. That's being bold to be bold, but I don't really believe that. If I'm being completely honest, I want to believe it, but I don't. You believe what you're saying. That's the difference between your bold and my bold right now. Interesting. I'll tell you what, next week will be interesting. No matter what the Bills do, I'm sure we're going to have plenty to talk about on the show next week. That's if I don't beg you to stay up way past your bedtime on Thursday night and maybe jump on, because I'll tell you, if the Bills, if things go weird, and man, you kind of keep me like that level-headed a little bit when I'm on the show with you, whereas Joe might just cause me chaos to fly off the deep end even more if things don't go the way I want them to go with the Bills. See how that plays out. But thanks as always, man. It's always good having you on the show. This was fun. I look forward to clipping a couple of these maybe and going back a week or so from now and seeing if we hit on any of these. But always a good time having you on, man.
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks, Pat.
All right, and I will be back, like I said here, depending on when you're listening to this, Tuesday night live, Sunny Reds in Lackawanna. Greg Thompson from Cover One is going to join me streaming that live at 8 p.m. If you happen to be in the area, stop up. If not, talk to you tomorrow.